You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This is the Grit and Barrett Podcast, a podcast devoted to the 11-time Calder Cup champion, the Hershey Bears. We talk Hershey Bears, the American Hockey League, and all the hockey news that matters to me. This is high energy, unfiltered, and at times unfocused hockey talk from a hack. And now, on with the show. Alrighty, everyone. Welcome to a special edition of the Grit and Barrett Podcast, everyone. As you saw probably on the socials this past weekend, we had not much Hershey Bears action to go with. In fact, actually there was none, because unfortunately Corona Chun has struck us yet again. However, with the mythical hockey gods, sometimes where one door closes, another door opens. And I took the opportunity to notice at the NHL calendar that, oh, look, games played. Everybody has pretty much played about, oh, I don't know, about 20, 21, 22, or maybe 19 games. That sounds like about a quarter of the way through the season. So I decided that I'm going to take stock here at the NHL season and see just where we stand. But I could not do this alone, ladies and gentlemen. I had to go to someone. I had to go to someone who knows the NHL inside and out. I had to go to someone who I know that discusses the NHL perhaps a little bit more than I do. Someone who has his fingers on the throbbing pulse of the NHL. And that's nowhere near what I wanted it to sound like. But hey, let's just go with it because it's live. I'm talking about the man who has Triple H's on his logo. He's a friend of the podcast, Nick Bolanski himself. I know, I can hear all of you. He does that Penguins podcast. Yes, I know he does. Shut up. He also does the Hockey Hotbed, which covers all of the NHL, because hockey at times can be a hotbed. Eh? Hmm? Eh? Ah, go on. Anyway, Nick, welcome aboard, man. Thanks for coming on to the podcast, and welcome to the first quarter poll of the NHL season.
Richard, thank you for having me on. I'm excited to sit here and, as you said, take stock of the NHL season a quarter of the way through. It's surprising that we're already that far into the season. I look at the schedule and I look at all the games that have happened, and it feels like we're just getting started. Yet we're at this point where now we can kind of see what some teams are made of, and we can kind of see which teams are starting to take a back seat. So I'm excited to dive through it and delve through it with all of it with you.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. As always, you know, you're always a friend of the podcast. I see you pumping out daily, you know, putting in that podcast grind, and it's great stuff to see, man. So, you know, first off, for everyone that's listening, I apologize for the audio a little bit, but you know, this is what we got to do. Setting up shop here, but let's get to it. Sounds decent enough. Let's go. All right, man, let's just get right into this. So I know I sent you a bullet, kind of a bullet points of some stuff we're gonna go over here. And the first one, of course, as always, is the best team in the league. And I don't mean, you know, who is like the best team because of one player or somebody's playing really well. Just your opinion of who the best team overall. I've got a couple I'm gonna throw your way. A bit more air of recency, the Washington Capitals, with them just getting hot right now, doing a lot with a lot of injuries. Out in the Atlantic, I'm not exactly sure. I wanted to say Florida team, but they've sort of cooled off a little bit. Out there in the Central, it's, of course, our boss's favorite team, the Minnesota Wild. And in the Pacific, you could say the two teams out there in Alberta, Calgary, and Edmonton. I know I'm pretty much skimming off the top of the league, but I think that's kind of some of the best teams right now, because I'm not convinced that Tampa Bay, the defending champion, is the best team in the league right now. And Carolina, I think, is good, but they seem to have slipped up a little bit. Your thoughts on the best team in the league?
Well, you mentioned Washington right off the top there, and I think they kind of snuck their way into the top spot in the NHL. And as we sit right now, they are the top team as far as points are concerned in the NHL. It started off this season with, oh, Alex Ovechkin is really, really good, and he's scoring a lot of goals. And now it's looking at this team, it's like, no, this whole team is performing well. I mean, Vanacek in net and Samsonov, whenever he gets the chance to, these guys are putting together wins, and there's a reason that they've kind of snuck their way to the top of the league. Not as hot of a start as Carolina or Florida, who were undefeated for all that time, but Washington has been very, very good going up there and just picking up wins when they need to. I saw it in person a couple weeks ago. They absolutely throttled the Pittsburgh Penguins. So that was a performance where basically everything was going well for them. Another team that you didn't mention that I kind of highlighted here is the Toronto Maple Leafs in the Atlantic Division. I think a lot of people try to take their regular season success with a grain of salt, because they've been great in the regular season before. They've just never been able to do anything in the postseason. So we'll see what happens this year. But as of right now, I mean, Jack Soupy Campbell in net is doing really well. It's showing that, you know, they didn't need Freddie Anderson. And it seems as if after a slow start, their stars are starting to play well, which is what you need in the regular season from the Maple Leafs. The question's always going to be the postseason. But also, you mentioned the Flames. That's a team that they're playing the Pittsburgh Penguins tonight. As of this recording, I've been watching the game, and they're very much a Daryl Sutter team. I mean, they play that to a T. 7 shutouts as a team together, 5 for Jacob Markstrom. I mean, those guys are playing really well. I mean, you'd look at Andrew Mangiapane having 15 goals already on the season. It's just a lot of really good performances out there in Calgary.
No, I completely get that as well. Just you see with Toronto, I agree with you. I'm like a lot of other people who are just tired of this team underproducing and underperforming when it comes to April. I think a lot of people are just like, call me in April. Call me in April. But I agree with you with Washington. I did a watch along with this team for the Hockey Podcast Network, which we do watch alongs. Ding, ding, ding. That with the amount of injuries that they have, they shouldn't be this good. I mean, they're younger guys, Protas, Connor McMichael, when they have him in, Axel Janssen-Fjällby, Mike Scarbosa. It is the antithesis of next man up, as they like to say on Twitter. But you know, there's a lot of really good teams. I mean, like you said, Daryl Sutter hockey is alive and well there in Calgary. I mean, don't expect any excitement out of this team. But I think I agree with a lot of your sentiments on there. And just again, you know, Toronto, call me in April. Sorry. Yeah. Just call me in April.
Yeah, no, I think one of the biggest surprises to me has also been Minnesota. You mentioned they're our boss's favorite team. They started the season with Kirill Kaprizov really underperforming, and everybody in Minnesota saying, what happened? What's going on with Kirill the Thrill? And you see them slowly start to kind of put it more together piece by piece and just picking up wins the way they need to. They're in a division that I would say, honestly, I would say conference-wise, the East Conference is a little bit stronger right now than the West. But the Minnesota Wild are in a division that, with Colorado underperforming, it's there for the taking. So they need to take advantage, and so far this season they have.
Yeah, understood. Especially when you see teams like St. Louis breathing down their necks, just waiting for them to slip up as well. And dare we say that the Central Division might be a little underrated, because the Winnipeg Jets, with where they are, aren't a very exciting team, and the Colorado Avalanche are just, you know, are okay. I mean, yeah, they have 23 points right now, but they didn't get off to the best start this year, especially for a team with cup aspirations.
Yeah, the Central Division is a really weird one and a hard one to predict. The Colorado Avalanche, as you mentioned, the last couple of weeks have started to get back and get right. Cale Makar was named the third star of the week this week in the NHL. But if you look at some of the other teams in that division, I think Winnipeg's a dark horse for the Stanley Cup.
Okay.
I've been saying that since the beginning of the season. I like, obviously, you have Connor Hellebuck, who's going to be the starting goaltender for Team USA in the Olympics, if they're able to go, but that's a different conversation for a different day. And then you have that offense that I think is very underrated. You look at their top six, and it can go head-to-head with anybody. But across the rest of that division, Dallas, they've underperformed. I don't expect them to be very good this year. They're a team that relies on defense and goaltending, and thus far, it hasn't really been able to get the job done. But the Nashville Predators and what is the other team that I always forget? Oh, yeah, you mentioned it, the St. Louis Blues. I don't see much in those teams, but they've played well to start the season. I don't think it's consistent for the Predators. I think they're probably going to fall off. For the Blues, I just don't like their team on paper. They've been proving me wrong thus far into the season. They'll probably prove me wrong further into the season, but I just don't like that team on paper.
St. Louis right now reminds me of those mid-2000 Ottawa Senators teams that always just hung around the playoffs, like when we were still doing the eight best teams. You know, they weren't great, they weren't flashy, but they got points. And then once March came around, oh, they're the sixth seed. Oh, they're the fifth seed. We're going to see them in the first round. So, yeah, I know what you mean about an underrated team and one that just doesn't, you know, look very well or too appetizing, but there they are, second in the Central. So let's flip the script, and we're going to say tanks to all of these teams. And oh dear God, do we have a fun batch to go through. The absolute lowest in the league right now belongs to these four teams: Ottawa, Arizona, Montreal, and the New York Islanders. And one of these things just doesn't belong here when you think of these teams. Sure, Arizona's won a couple of games after their legendary bad start to the year. But Islanders, what are they doing there? Has everybody just caught on to their game? Has everybody just caught up to Barry Style?
I'm actually going to end up talking about the Islanders in my next episode of the Hockey Hotbed, and it's a very interesting case study. A team that the past two seasons has gone the whole way to the Stanley Cup semifinals, of course, the bubble Eastern Conference finals, and last year the whole mixed mash semifinals. But it's a team that maybe you try to give them the excuse that, hey, it might be cup fatigue. You know, people say you have a cup hanger if you go the whole way to the Stanley Cup, but the Islanders have played a lot of hockey the past two seasons, and the way that Barry Trotz demands that you play the game, it can wear you down. So maybe that's a factor. Plus, add on the fact that they had the NHL's longest road trip to start a season with 13 games to start this year. They were fine after the first, I believe, six or seven. And then, of course, they lost the last four games of that road trip. They come home, they lose their first four games at UBS Arena, and now you look at them, they're on COVID break. It's not an easy start to the season for a team that has played a lot of hockey, a team that there is a lot demanded of them by their coach, and you're just hoping that eventually they start to kind of turn it around. I, for the longest time, poo-pooed the fact that the Islanders were a good team. I did not think they were a good team in 2020 when they went to the Stanley Cup semifinals. I didn't think they were a good team last season. And now all of a sudden, this year, when I say, you know what, I think they're a good team, I finally jump on the bandwagon, and as such, they're in the last bottom five of the league at this point. It's just how it goes. They live to make me wrong, the Islanders do.
Yeah, you hopped on the bandwagon and you broke the darn thing. Nice going. Yeah, I could see how the long road stand could do that to them. I just kind of thought that they play a Barry Trotz grit and grind type style, but it doesn't feel like they've changed it. Like they've just been playing the same style for the past 3 years, and now it's okay, now we know how to beat these guys. And as much as Islanders fans aren't gonna like hearing this, I don't think this team has any like real stars. Yes, they can roll all four lines. Yes, they can have a hard, gritty defense. But who's the guy you can call on in the last 2 or 3 minutes of the game to get you a game-tying goal or a game-winning goal? And Islanders fans will say Andres Lee or Pajau, and I'll say, eh? When was the last time they have? I mean, they rely on their depth guys a lot, but those don't always come home.
Yeah, when I look at that team, if I'm looking for a goal scorer, I mean, in the first place, if you're looking for a goal scorer for the Islanders, it's always hard to find because of the way that Barry Trotz demands that game be played. But I'm looking, okay, maybe Matt Barzal, maybe Anthony Beauvillier, but at the same time, they're not going to win the game by going out there and outscoring their opponents. They're going to win the game by basically playing, as we talked about earlier with the Flames, playing that Barry Trotz, Daryl Sutter type game where, listen, we're going to keep this low scoring. We're going to keep this tight checking. We're going to beat the brakes off of you. And when you make a mistake, we're going to be there to capitalize. And most of the time, the Islanders are. But as of right now, so far this season, they just haven't been able to capitalize on those mistakes. And they really haven't been able to capitalize on some pretty good performances from their goaltender, Ilya Sorokin.
Yeah, it hasn't been there for the boys out there at UBS Arena. And hopefully, you know, they'll get through this rough patch there with Corona-chan, and we can move past this, you know, as it moves through wherever it goes. But, you know, as always on both our podcasts, you know, keep your stick on the ice to all them out there and stay safe and get back out there. So another team down here who had some news break late Sunday, Les Canadiens, Marc Bergevin, gone. Assistant GM, gone. I've already forgotten his name. Director of Communications, gone. It just sounds like the Canadiens are basically hitting the nuclear button. And if I'm someone on the Canadiens, I'd be looking over your shoulder and contacting your agent over the next month or two.
Yeah, it seems like the Canadiens have kind of already looked at this season and said, all right, it might be a wash. It might just be a wash. I mean, we're not in dead last in our division, but the only team behind us is the Ottawa Senators, who have basically gone nuclear in their own right at this point, sending Matt Murray down to the minor leagues. But to keep it within Montreal, I mean, Marc Bergevin, there were talks that he might walk away from the Habs last year. He might have just had a little too much. And then they go on to the Stanley Cup Finals, and then you see this happen out of nowhere after an awful start, an awful offseason, in my opinion. I mean, if you lose a guy like Kotkaniemi because you couldn't get him signed in time until Don Waddell and the Hurricanes just decided to get ballsy and sign the offer sheet. You lose Philip Deneau because he just walks. And your big acquisition was Christian Dvorak. So
yeah.
It's a tough task taking on the Montreal Canadiens job. I would throw my hat in the ring, but I don't speak French, Richard. I don't know much French. And the new GM, it is said that he needs to be able to communicate in French and English. So I guess that disqualifies me. That might be the only reason that I don't get the job.
Just kidding.
Obviously, no credentials. But the Habs know it's a team that right now, it's hard to imagine a team firing a general manager less than 6 months after they were in the Stanley Cup Finals. But here we are, and it is not a pretty sight for the Blue Blanc et Rouge right now. It is definitely not.
No, it is definitely tough times for les inhabitants de Montreal. You brought up the Ottawa Senators as well. This team's just cratered out. Matt Murray put on waivers hoping somebody would take him. Maybe not at that cap hit. Seems like they're fully committed to their two young goalies in Gustafsson and Chesnot. I have no idea who they are. Not that it matters right now.
I think it's Broberg.
It's Broberg. The NHL goalie name or made up NHL 22 name, you decide.
Yeah.
So I with Ottawa, were some people thinking that they might turn the corner this season, or is it just gone sideways on them?
I mean, you look at the way they finished last season. They finished after a first 12 or 14 game skid to start the year.
Mm-hmm.
They finished last season really well and actually almost overtook the Canadiens for that last spot. If they weren't so absolutely, you know, burn it down bad at the beginning of the season, they might have been a playoff team last year in the North Division. And this year, a lot of people were looking at them saying, you know what, this is a young team. They played well at the end of the season. They've bought into DJ Smith's team and his philosophy. Maybe they'll be able to get something going. You have Brady Tkachuk now as the captain there. You have guys like Josh Norris. You have Tim Stützle. This is a team that was excited to get things going this year and looking to move up. It's basically what we're seeing the Red Wings do, but they just haven't been able to do it. They haven't been able to capture that exciting style of play. they, as well as the New York Islanders, had a COVID shutdown. They are now back from it. Mm-hmm. So maybe now that they're on the other side of that, maybe they can try to settle things down and do what they did last year and kind of settle into the season and play a little better. But as of right now, it's just been ugly up there in Ottawa.
That it has. And the last team down here in the cellar, proverbially, the Arizona Coyotes. Well, they went back to the Kuchina jerseys. Yeah. That's a good thing.
Literally what I was going to say. I was like, oh, they're wearing the Kuchina, so that's a plus.
Yes, that's positivity on here. Let's look at the positives. Kuchina jerseys were back. They've got some nice talent in the wings down there in Tucson. But other than that, there's nothing down there. I think Kessel's trying to find the first flight out of there. They're probably going to dump more assets. Heck, they might not even have a home at the end of the season. So just really tough times for the team there in Northern Arizona.
Yeah, Kessel might not wait for a flight. He might take the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile out of the town there.
Yes.
He's not going to be there very long, that's for sure. I mean, you saw the Coyotes in the offseason kind of went nuclear in their own right. They started trading assets off. They offloaded the Oliver Ekman-Larsson deal for the first time. They took back some bad contracts, but they'll be off the books in a year or two. They're a team that, you know, it's burn it down time in Arizona again. And it's hard to say that. It's a tough pill to swallow for the fans in the desert, but it's where they're at. They had this little tiny try at a run, and that was the whole Rick Tocchet experiment, and it just didn't work out. You see, Tocchet's already out.
Yeah.
Traded a bunch of players. Connor Garland was part of that trade with Oliver Ekman-Larsson. And now you have to imagine, I mean, do you keep Clayton Keller or do you trade him? You trade Phil Kessel. He's not a piece that you build around. He's too old to be a core piece in a rebuild at this point. But do you build around Chychrun and Clayton Keller? Possibly. But that doesn't start until after this season when you start to trade some other pieces. And if you look at it, it might be Shane Wright time in the desert next year.
That's not pretty. And, you know, I'm sure our friends over at the Sporty Podcast, who cover all things Arizona and sports pop culture, you know, they've been talked about, you know, what home they might have, you know, trying to move to Tucson. I know there's a plan in the works that they want to create a deer district that the Milwaukee Bucks have. That's their vision, but that's about $2 billion it's going to cost for them to build. And everybody keeps saying, just move them to Houston, or, you know, or Bettman was up in Quebec talking about bringing back the Nordiques. Do you think the Yotes move, or do they find a temporary home?
I don't think they move. I really don't. I think Bettman is committed to trying to make it work in Arizona. That's his pet project. That's going to be his legacy there. I mean, part of it, at least. I think he's very much committed to keeping that team in the desert. And he should be. I mean, we've seen glimpses of what it could be back in like 2012, 2013 when they were making runs.
Yeah.
But it's just, they've been given such poor hands and such poor cards right now because of, you know, everything that happened with their general manager a couple years ago, the fact that nobody really wants to house them as far as arenas go. This is going to be their last year at Gila River. If they can get a new arena, then they'll be fine. I don't want to see the Arizona Coyotes move. I want to see them stay there. I think they deserve to stay there, but I also think the NHL is also doing them a disservice by making them play in the Central Division. It's already hard enough for that franchise to try to succeed, let alone dumping them into a division that's going to give them one of the roughest travel schedules in the entire league. So they're not getting any favors for them, but I don't think they're going to end up moving.
Yeah, I think, you know, the only way that they go back to the West is if I think the league expands to 36 teams. But that'd be a discussion for another show, whether that would be happen. You know, maybe return the favor and we can talk about some other topics on the Hockey Hotbed podcast sometime. Ding, ding. Before we take a slight break here at the moment, we're going to talk about Cthulhu, as in the Seattle Kraken. It seems like the sugar rush of a new team has worn off with this team, sitting at 8-13-1 with 17 points and about second to last there in the Pacific, just sitting there with Vancouver. Is this what what was expected out of the Seattle Kraken, that at best they were going to roll all four lines, but it just seems like they can't really compete in the Pacific.
It seemed like that for a while. I mean, if you look at the Kraken now, they've won four of their last five. Not a bad run there for Seattle, but this is exactly what an expansion team should be. They're taking their licks, they're getting experience, and they're trying to build something in Seattle. The Vegas Golden Knights really screwed the Seattle Kraken by their miracle run back in 2017-18. I mean, if you look at that team and you look at this Kraken team, there's a whole lot of difference in the way that these two teams were built, but they're still going to be measured up against each other. And the Kraken are not the 2017-18 Vegas Golden Knights.
No.
They just aren't. And it also doesn't help that their goaltender has not been performing. I mean, Philip Grubauer has had a rough start to the season, and he is who they expected to be the main cog in their victories. And now here's the fact is, they built this team to compete in the Pacific Division. Good goaltending, good defense, and just enough scoring. Well, they haven't gotten the goaltending. And when you don't have that piece, the rest of the puzzle doesn't work.
Agreed. And, you know, Grubauer, we love him here, out here in Hershey. He's part of the brotherhood out here. Chris Drager was supposed to be a diamond in the rough goaltender find for a Florida team. And you're right. Vegas is the exception, not the rule. What's happened with the Seattle Kraken is what these teams go through. And you can argue that Vegas was spoiled and is spoiled with all the success and glam and showbiz and booga 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 with what they have. And Seattle just doesn't have that in terms of aesthetics. I think that's another thing that really sold Vegas, because it's Vegas. Now you just have Seattle that is just, they're just a new team. They're not flashy. They don't have pre-show intros. And sorry if that's not enough for the NHL for a new team coming in, but this is what, like you said, an expansion team is supposed to be.
Yeah, I absolutely love their aesthetics, though. Like, I'm not going to lie. Their jerseys are probably right up there in the top five in the NHL, just right off the bat.
Agreed. They're beautiful.
Beautiful. And I can't wait till they eventually get a third jersey with that third logo that they have on the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Make that a crest piece, and you basically sold me on another jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Climate Pledge Arena, I hopefully will someday visit. I say this, and I say I want to visit all these arenas. I've only been to two. I've been to PPG Paints Arena, and I've been to now Cap One Arena. So it's a matter of hopefully I get out there. But it looks like they have the buy-in from the fans. They've had basically packed stands in every single home game. And yeah, it might seem like nationally the fun and glitz and glamour of the 32nd team in the NHL has kind of faded, but this team is still fun. Every time they go into a new market, that new market's going to get exposed to it, and it's going to grow just a little bit after another. And I think they have the building blocks of a really good franchise there. Obviously, Dave Haxtell is their head coach. He's a great hockey mind. He's a guy that is going to be able to teach these young players, because they did get a lot of young players, to play the game the right way, and it's going to help them build for the future. They have a guy waiting in the wings, and by in the wings, I mean at that powerhouse in Michigan named Matty Beniers. And once he hits the Kraken roster, he's going to make some noise. That's probably not going to be this year. It might be towards the end of it, but next season, we're going to see him, and he'll probably be in the call to race. So eyes will still be on the Seattle Kraken for years to come, and I think they're building something special up there.
Agreed, and I've seen a good amount of their farm club with the Charlotte Checkers over these past 2 months. And for a lot of you hockey fans, know this name, Alexander True. He has been lighting it up in Charlotte. He is a fast, skilled player. And I think that, you know, if a spot opens up, and the Kraken have done this on some of their East Coast swings, they've called him up to get him a cup of coffee when they've been traveling. I think that's a name that the Kraken faithful should get used to over the next year or two, along with other players you've said. You know, they've got Joey Decord down there too, who I think could be a decent third option as well. So there's some real good stuff in the pipeline there for Seattle when they move, especially when their farm club moves out to Coachella Valley there next fall. And I am not joking. That's where they're going to.
Yeah, no, it is weird thinking that, you know, the Seattle Kraken have to rely on the Charlotte Checkers as their AHL team. It's like, I want to make a quick call up. Okay, fly across the country.
Exactly. So, but before, we're going to take a short break here, as you like to see on your show. We're going to pay the bills here real quick. And, of course, we're going to have a real quick ad break here with DraftKings Sportsbook here at the NHL Quarter Poll on the Grit and Barrett podcast. So while we're talking hockey, we're going to reach out to all you football fans out there. I'm sure we all love the action-packed and high-scoring NFL game. I know I do. But the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the National Football League. You'll be a winner once a team scores a single point. New customers can bet just $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. It's just that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state, you can still get in on NFL action. You can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers free shots at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, PA only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit, $1 wager required, one per customer, restrictions apply, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. And now, back to our regularly scheduled programming. Once again, we have Nick Berlansky joining us of Hockey Hotbed podcast and of the Tip of the Iceberg podcast. You know, thank you so much again for joining me, man. Love doing this, and hopefully at the beginning of February, we can do this again at the halfway point.
Hey, I'm all for it. I'm definitely, you reach out to me, I'm into talk hockey. That's the reason I have four podcasts come out a week. It's an addiction at this point.
God bless. So we're going to move into another category here. And one, you know, since I try to be on the cutting edge with them kids, I'm turning 40 next year, shut up. I have what's called the best streaming team. This was lovingly influenced by Bill Simmons, as he would call in the NBA. And this is still done at the Ringer, as they like to call it, the best league pass team. Like, this is a team that on the NBA League Pass, you say, oh, they're on, I want to watch them. This is kind of the same thing, but we're doing this for the NHL. If you have ESPN Plus here in the States, which has been surprisingly underwhelming, in my opinion, or whatever service you use, we do not judge. I have a couple of teams here that I think are like the best can't-miss television when it comes to hockey. I think one of the most obvious ones is the Edmonton Oilers, with the Lord and Savior of Edmonton's heart, Connor McJesus, I mean McDavid, and Leon Draisaitl. The scoring 1-2 punch of those guys are just unreal, especially with Connor McDavid just seems to be playing pissed off every night and looks to just light it up every chance he gets. Like, I've had about 6 or 7 times this year, my friends on our little hockey chat, we get links from Twitter like, McDavid did it again. See what Draisaitl did. It just seemed like for a span of 2 weeks, it was, you have to watch the Oilers because they're going to do something.
Yeah, unfortunately, the only Oilers game that I've watched in the past 2 weeks was the one game that Connor McDavid didn't score a point. So I think I put an X on him. I don't know what's going on with that, but I do concur for the most part. It is a very fun team to watch. It's great to see McDavid and Draisaitl go at it night in and night out. I mean, Draisaitl right now has 40 points in 20 games, so he's running at a 2 point per game pace, which would put him at 162 points on the year. Clearly, one of the best in the salary cap era, if he can pull through. I think that's going to be hard to do. But, I mean, you look at this team, anytime you put this game on, look at the net for them. It's either Mikko Koskinen or Stuart Skinner. So there's going to be a lot of goals on both ends of the ice, unless they're playing the Dallas Stars, like I was watching the other week. But for the most part, this is a fun team to watch. And another best streaming team. I mean, they have TikTok on their freaking helmet. So clearly, the Toronto Maple Leafs are a team to watch if you want to stream them. I mean, they've got the young stars in Mitch Marner. Auston Matthews is just an absolute wonder with his shot. And John Tavares is all right to watch. But more fun to me is William Nylander. The guy is always doing things in a weird way because he likes to play net front. He's not a bigger guy, but then he also has a really nice shot and some really nice hands. That team's fun to watch, and I agree. I mean, Edmonton and Toronto, hopefully we don't see them in a Stanley Cup final because I think all of Canada would blow up, but they are fun teams to watch if they're just sitting there and need something in the background, for sure.
I just want Toronto to win a playoff round. Also, because, well, it's not because I'm pulling for the Maple Leafs. It's not. I just want Steve Dangle to have some happiness in that man's life. I'm getting tired of seeing that man making sad Game 7 videos or Game 5.
But he gets fairly compensated for those, I believe, though.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah, it must be nice, and I say that lovingly. I honestly do with what that man does. God bless with what he does. Another fun team to watch is, of course, in the nation's capital there in D.C., it would be very easy for me to come on here and say, well, Alex Ovechkin is on goal watch until he retires.
Yeah.
And while, yes, it is fun, everything with Ovechkin's doing, and every stat that's brought up of his every time he does something, as we said earlier in the podcast, they're getting a ton of scoring everywhere else. I mean, I said Protoss, John Carlson, Dmitry Orlov, Kuznetsov when he's able to, Mike Scarbosa, and even Brett Leeson as well. Half these guys I know Caps fans don't know, but I've seen them down in Hershey the past couple of years, and it seems like the Capitals are finally tapping into that youth, and it's paying off with all the injuries that they've had. So I think they are a very fun team to watch.
I mean, lately, Garnett Hathaway has also been on goal watch, too. He's been putting it in the back of the net at a hefty price. I mean, you look at the way that he's been able to do it, but this team, as of right now, has yet to get a single contribution from Nick Backstrom because he's been on the shelf for the most part this season.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So it's a matter of, can Alex Ovechkin continue to carry this team while they're getting this secondary scoring? Because on the surface, it's, oh, Alex Ovechkin is doing some crazy things. But deep down, like you said, they're getting contributions from all over the ice. I mean, he is scoring at a ridiculous pace. We talked about Draisaitl having 40 points. I mean, I think Ovi has quietly put up 37 points. Like, it's hard to say that Alex Ovechkin can sneak into an Art Ross Trophy race, but nobody expected anybody to be closer to Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. But yet, Alex Ovechkin is outscoring McDavid at this point, and there's still people just talking about his goals. He's been able to dish the puck this season better than I think I've ever seen him dish the puck basically his entire career. He's added that to his game over time, but this year it's really starting to culminate.
Yeah, and we forget what Ovechkin can do outside of just being a straight shooter, I can talk. He can facilitate the puck when needed. And again, he's doing this without Backstrom, as you said. TJ Oshie is on the sideline in a walking boot. That's two solid pieces of his core that he's doing all this without. Those are a couple options. If you're looking for a team to put on in the background, those are some great options. So let's talk about right now at the quarter pole mark. Who are some of your dark horses so far? You can pick one from each conference. Just teams that are just under the radar. We're not talking about them that much. And one team I'm going to say from the East, maybe it's a little error of recency, as I've heard someone else say on another podcast, is the New Jersey Devils. As a team that is young and fast, and it seems like this is the beginning of something good there in Newark with Nathan Bastian, Heischer, Mackenzie Blackwood there in goaltending, PK Subban, the resident old-timer there on the blue line. This team seems young and fast. They're not young and big, but they can be fun and exciting and move pucks up and down the ice. And with a little that weak midsection of the Metropolitan Division, they, in theory, if they can just hang around, they might sneak into that second wild card spot. I don't think they're going to go anywhere, but maybe, just maybe, if they keep this up, we could see playoff hockey there in Newark.
Well, the Devils were a team that last year was the youngest team in the NHL, and it's not like they got much older. I mean, they added Tomas Tatar, and they added Dougie Hamilton and Ryan Graves, who are guys that have been in the league a little bit longer, but the bulk majority of this team is still very, very young.
Yes.
And I liked what they did in the offseason. I liked the addition of Dougie Hamilton. I mean, go for it. He had a great piece. And they added Ryan Graves for pennies on the dub because of the expansion draft. So I thought that was amazing as well. It stinks to not have Jack Hughes. It really does.
Yeah.
But once they get him back, they are going to be better. And I think you look at the teams ahead of them. I mean, what are the Pittsburgh Penguins? We don't know. They had bad stretches. They've had good stretches. We haven't even seen Evgeny Malkin play a single game yet. You look right below the Penguins right now, it's the Columbus Blue Jackets. I expect a heavy regression to the mean for the Columbus Blue Jackets. They have blown my expectations out of the water in the first quarter of the season.
Yeah.
But is that sustainable? Is Boone Jenner really a guy that's going to score that many goals?
Nah.
Is Oliver Bjorkstrand a guy that's going to be able to lead a playoff team in scoring? No, I don't think so. I think they're riding the tide of a lot of really good games by Elvis Merzlikins and really good performances by basically their entire team. So I expect a regression of the mean there. So can the Devils sneak into a playoff spot? I could see it. I really could. I think there's also a team in Boston that eventually is going to click and eventually is going to make a fight for that playoff spot there as well. But if I'm looking in the East, I know that they're not necessarily a dark horse, but when you look at the favorites, you have to say they're probably Washington, Carolina, Florida, Tampa, Toronto. Yeah, I think this team and the New York Rangers is a dark horse pick. I don't know if you'll give me credit for that as being a dark horse, but the way that they're built throughout the offseason, they added pieces, and Chris Drury was like, I need to add pieces for the playoffs. This team's going to be a playoff team. I'm making that bet.
All right.
I need to add pieces like Ryan Reeves, like Sammy Blais, who is injured now, and like Barclay Goodrow, because in the playoffs, those are the guys I'm going to need to rely on. And my response to that was, you haven't made the playoffs yet with this rebuilt team. You haven't done that yet. So you're taking a risk there at saying we're going to be there anyway. And so far this season, I mean, 13-4-3, Igor Shesterkin has kind of proven everybody wrong that said maybe he doesn't have it. He's been great. Artemi Panarin is always obviously Artemi Panarin. You can't argue with that. And Lafreniere and Kako, from right now, it looks like they've taken steps up. So I think that that's a team that if they get in the playoffs, with also Adam Fox there, you can't forget about him because the guy just inked a massive contract. He won the Norris last year.
Yeah.
And he is a huge threat to score at any given moment
from
the blue line.
Agreed.
This is a team that's going to be tough to beat once it gets to April. They just got to make sure they get there.
Yeah, I could definitely see the New York Rangers getting there to the promised land there in the playoffs. I think they could be a young and feisty team depending on who they get matched up against. And in all honesty, we could have a Rangers-Capitals first round matchup.
Okay.
And we know a few friends on the podcast network that would go, sign me up. Sign me up for that. We could also stare down a possible Toronto Rangers first round. Ugh. Cool. I can't believe I just said that. Sorry, hockey gods. Sorry, I cannot believe I just said that. But, you know, both of those matchups, as much as we joke, are interesting, are very interesting matchups, and that's what you would want a dark horse team to do, to move up and, you know, and get in and just sneak in. So moving out west, I am going to go with one of the more, I think, surprise teams out west, and that's the Anaheim Ducks. Where the heck did this come from? that the youth... That did Dallas Eakins think, oh no, I'm going to get fired. I need to do something. And now all the youth seems to be coming home and everybody's playing well all of a sudden. And Gibson there, oh my gosh, Gibson, we love you. They're playing great at the Honda Center, but the state of your road record, man, 3-4-2 on the road. Get that taken care of or else they won't make it to April. But, good on Anaheim for being the best of the California three teams, and I guess maybe playing up to their potential.
I think they're out punting their coverage, really. I mean,
okay.
it's fun to see. It is fun to see. I mean, Troy Terry's point streak was a great story. Ryan Getzlaf becoming the all-time leader in points, and also what he scored, or he became the all-time leader in points in the same game that they won their 1,000th game in franchise history or something like that.
Yeah.
It's been a great story. I mean, you cannot ignore the fact that this is a team that has been in the depths of the NHL standings for several years now. So for them to come out there with the talent that they have in the wings, with the talent that they have and the younger players there, it's nice to see it start to kind of come together for Anaheim, but it's the same thing to me as Columbus. There's going to be a regression of the mean. You're going to have Vegas, who's already sneaking up on them, that's probably going to overtake them for that spot, especially once they get guys like Patches back, once they get a guy like Jack Eichel back into the lineup, which is still a couple months out. But the Anaheim Ducks, as of right now, it's great to see. It's a little glimpse into the future. To me, it's exactly what we saw from the New York Rangers 2 years ago. So I think they're on a good trajectory. They just need to continue to do the right things in Anaheim.
Agreed. You know, maybe it's just the Bobby Cox method that he always had with the Braves. Beat the guys below you and go 500 against the guys that are above you. And that might actually be enough. So who's your dark horse out west? I know you might have said it already, but just remind the good folks at home.
Yeah, I did throw a little quick mention in there earlier in the show, but I will bring it back, kind of a little bit of recall.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Winnipeg Jets, and it was my dark horse at the beginning of the season, and I'm sticking with it even though they are 10-8-4. They sit right now in third place in the Central Division, a division that, as I mentioned earlier, is very up for grabs, and they're a team that when I look at them, and I'll say this again, and I'm sure if anybody has listened to me at any point in time this season, they're probably tired of me throwing out this little fact, this little tidbit. Three of the last 4 years, the Winnipeg Jets were knocked out of the postseason by a team that went to the Stanley Cup Finals. So they're losing to good opponents in the playoffs. And you look at the way this team is built. You have the big goal scorers. You have a Scheifele. You have Connor. You have, I mean, P.L. Dubois right now. You have the goaltending in a Vezina caliber guy in Connor Hellebuyck. You just needed that defense to get better. At the beginning of the season, it hasn't looked like it's much better, but they have the guys that if they can turn it around, they can start to turn it into a positive for them. Nate Schmidt has been okay for them. Also, you look at what Neil Pionk has been able to do. He's been okay. They just need that defense to kind of insulate Connor Hellebuyck a little bit more. And that offense, there's something going on with it the last couple of weeks. They need to get right, especially a guy like Blake Wheeler, who has not been able to find the back of the net.
Yeah, with Winnipeg, if all that can hold together, then I think they can hang around the Central. Is it enough to surpass like a St. Louis? Who knows? But like Anaheim, they need to get their road record taken care of. At 3-5-3 is in that division. That's not enough to pay the bills, and you should be doing better, especially when you look at the bottom of it. So we're gonna move into some real quick questions here. We're going to go a little bit rapid fire, about 3 to 5 questions, and just some short answers on it. You ready to go, man?
Yeah, always.
All right. Fair enough. All right. First off, do you see the NHL fully committing to the Olympics this year?
It seems like they're never going to, but we're running out of time here. As of right now, they haven't backed out. So right now we're good, but we'll see what happens there. I have no idea what's going to happen with it.
Understood. Will the Chicago Blackhawks be able to rebuild their credibility this season with all of the stuff off the ice that happened in November with the whole Stan Bowman and everything else?
It's going to be hard for them to rebuild their credibility over several years, so it's certainly not going to happen this year. The best they can do is try to play hockey, and the good thing is I feel like they've rid themselves of most of the people in that situation. I mean, that's not even good to say because it's such an awful situation that they put themselves in by being blatantly misuse of any authority that they had. So I don't think they're going to get any credibility back this year.
Right. That wound's going to take a while to scab over and heal over. And I agree. Yeah. Just a complete, horrible, ugly incident that just went way too far to begin with. Moving on. Is Detroit for real?
They will be. They will be. Their players are for real. Their young talent is for real. Mo Sider and Lucas Raymond are the real deal. They're making huge contributions, but I still feel like that team is a couple pieces away from being able to compete. They've got a great start to the season, but like I mentioned, the East is a tough conference. conference. I think they're going to be the real deal this year, but they will be in the near future. The Iser plan is in full effect.
Does any team from California make the playoffs?
No. Next question.
I like that. Next question. How many players in Vancouver get traded at the deadline? Sorry, Isha.
Several players. I wouldn't be surprised if Besser's out. I wouldn't be surprised if JT Miller's out. Connor Garland might be another name that's on his way out there. I don't know if they're going to go into a full rebuild. I don't think any of the young stars are going anywhere, but they need a retool desperately, and they need to fix that cap situation that they got going on there.
Couple more real quick ones here. Dallas, you said they're the oldest team in the league. Do they hang around or do they start selling?
I think they start selling. I mean, they really like the pieces that they have there. I mean, they love the pieces that they have there, but it's just not going to work out. I mean, you love watching Joe Pavelski and Alex Radulov and those guys play, but you need to get them a little bit of help. I mean, you look at their goaltending situation. They have four goaltenders that can all be NHL goaltenders, but none of them want to take the starter's role. It's a weird team because you have a lot of talented players, but at the same time, you have some players that just aren't playing the right style of hockey for the Dallas Stars. So I think they start to sell towards the end of the season.
All right. And the last two questions will come from my state of Pennsylvania. Do the Flyers become sellers?
I don't know. It's tough because Chuck Fletcher had a lot of pressure on him to make moves in the offseason, and he certainly did that. I mean, bringing in Keith Yandel, Rasmus Ristolainen, and Cam Atkinson, he definitely made sure that if they fired him, it wasn't for lack of trying on his part. But it hasn't worked so far. We'll see what happens with it. But if they don't start turning it around, I could see them start to sell, but I could also see them say, you know what, this was an off year. We'll see what happens. I would think somebody like Keith Yandel might be on the block, whatever they can get back for him, because it has been a failed experiment.
But
the rest of their team, I'm not sure who they're going to sell. I mean, there was talks about Scott Laughton last year, but I don't know if they're willing to get rid of him at this point.
Bonus question from them. Does AV survive the season? Vigneault.
Yeah, it's very tough. If he stays where they're at in the standings, and it is only the quarter mark, but if they stay in bottom two in the standings, then he's probably going to be on his way out, or at least his seat's going to start warming up.
And lastly, because we're both noted Yinzers ourselves, do the Penguins make the playoffs?
You know, I haven't gone either way. I've kind of avoided this question so far, but I knew you'd keep me true to it. But you know what? Honestly, with Evgeny Malkin on his way back, with Sidney Crosby playing the way he has, with the team playing the way they have, albeit losing tonight's game, I say they do. I think they squeak into the playoffs. I don't know if they're going to make any noise in the playoffs, but I'll say right now they'll be a playoff team as of this moment.
Well, they're finishing up a Western Canadian road swing, and it looks like they're going to get very division heavy in the second half of the season. So if you're going to make up ground, that's the place you're going to do it. So that was a lot of fun, man. A lot of hockey talk we crammed into this podcast, and I love it. So before I head you out of here, Nick, I'm going to give you a minute or two to promote your projects, whatever you want, man. So for the next minute, the board is thine.
Well, thank you very much for having me on. It's always fun to talk with you. It's always fun to talk hockey in general. It's great. I have two podcasts, as you've mentioned throughout the show. Thank you for pumping those the whole way through. The Hockey Hotbed is my newest project where I cover every single team in the NHL, just grinding along there, trying to figure out what works best. So still kind of messing around with the product there. So definitely tune in. I'm going to have a lot of different things going on. We have power rankings. We have weekly three-star segments. So tune in if you like that. For the tip of the iceberg, if you're a Penguins fan, right now we have some exciting guests. We're going to have Brian Metzer rejoin as a multiple guest. We're going to have Josh Getzoff, the radio voice of the Pittsburgh Penguins, joining in the next couple of weeks. So we have a couple exciting guests for that. And we're also just grinding along with the Pittsburgh Penguins season. So if you enjoy the Penguins, check out Tip of the Iceberg. If you enjoyed listening to the whole league talk like you did on the Grit and Barrett podcast, I can't speak either, here today, then you can join me on the Hockey Hotbed and we'll keep this thing rolling.
Awesome. Great stuff out of you, man. And as he said, it's Hockey Hotbed. You know, go check it out on Twitter. Give him a like. Give him a follow. For the love of God, please subscribe to appease our algorithm overlords. And thank you to everyone who's joined for the NHL Quarter Pole podcast special edition here, here part of the Hockey Podcast Network, where we just see where the league stood here at the quarter pole mark, and we have lots of hockey to go, because coming up here in the second quarter of the season it is. We're getting into the cold part of the season. It'll be December. It'll be January. We'll have Winter Classics, All-Star Games, Olympic talk, and we'll see who will start selling, who are the contenders and pretenders and fancy journalist buzzwords inserted here. So everyone, thank you so much for listening. Enjoy hockey and enjoy the holidays wherever you are, and we will see you next time. Thank you for downloading this episode of the Grit and Barrett podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe on whatever podcast platform you are currently listening to. If you are listening on Apple or Google, please leave us a 5-star review as it appeases our algorithm overlords. If you enjoyed this podcast, please check out the Hockey Podcast Network, where there is a podcast for each and every NHL team. We also cover the American Hockey League. They have a podcast about college hockey and all the ins and outs of the hockey world. If you wish to know more about our parent club, please check out the official Caps Chirps podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network, as they cover all things Washington Capitals. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at GritAndBarrettP1 on Twitter. That's at GritAndBarrettP1 on Twitter. This podcast is dedicated to the memory of Patricia Blosser, who passed away on December 5th, 2020 to dementia and COVID. The show is also dedicated to all of the Hershey Bears friends, fans, and family who lost their lives to cancer. Cancer sucks. Thank you once again for listening to the Grit and Barrett podcast, and go Bears.